Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This is God's word. Give your attention to it. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, and the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, hopefully all the children who are with us this morning in our service grabbed a clipboard on their way in. If you didn't do that, feel free. It's okay. I'm giving you permission. You can get, if it's okay with your parents, of course, you can get up and come and get a clipboard. And if you've got one of those clipboards, you should see on the clipboard a sheet that looks like this. Do we still have the picture on the overhead? Oh, technical difficulties. Please stand by. Are there any service announcements that need to be made? Anyway, there we go. So you should have a sheet that looks like this. And the idea of this sheet is to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of the book of Proverbs to help you see what the book is all about. And so I just want to help you fill out that sheet. I'm not going to give you all the answers in this morning's sermon, but I want to give you a couple answers just as we sort of dip or wade our way into the book of Proverbs. And the first question I want to answer is, what is a proverb? And that would be a fantastic thing to write. This is just my opinion, but that would be a fantastic thing to write where it says, fun fact number one. What is a proverb? A proverb is a short saying that points us in the right direction. I want to say that one more time. A proverb is a short saying that points us in the right direction. The second question I want to answer, and this question actually is on your sheet, kids, if you're following along, and the second question we want to answer is, who wrote the book of Proverbs? And verse 1 of chapter 1 tells us that answer. It says, the Proverbs, that is the short sayings that point us in the right direction. That's what a proverb is. I'm going to quiz you guys on this later, so make sure you memorize that, okay? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And what that verse means is that the majority of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, and the rest, the parts that weren't written by Solomon, were either collected by him or approved by him or were written in the theme of his wisdom. And that brings us to another important question. So now we know what a proverb is, and we know who wrote the book of Proverbs. That's Solomon. At least he wrote most of it, or he approved of it. And so that brings us to another important question, which is, why should we listen to Solomon? Why should we listen to these proverbs? Why are these proverbs in the Bible? The answer to that question comes when Solomon first became king of Israel. You may remember when Solomon came to the throne, he went up to a place called Gibeon, and he had these big sacrifices, this big time of worship before the Lord. Says he made 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. It's a really big deal. And God appears to Solomon in that time of worship, in that time of sacrifice. God appears to Solomon in a dream, and he says this to Solomon. He says, ask what I shall give you. Another way to put that is, Solomon, ask me. Ask me for anything that you want. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if God appeared to you? This is the infinite, almighty creator of all things who can bring anything into existence out of nothing. And he says, I'll give you whatever you want. If you could ask me for anything, what would it be? Have you thought about that? What would you ask for? I think a lot of people would ask for stuff like money, right? Wouldn't that be sweet? Lord, I'll take $1 billion. I was going to say a million, but with inflation, that's not that much anymore, so we're going to go right up to $1 billion. That'd be kind of cool. Some people would maybe ask for fame. I want to be famous. Some people might ask for health. Some people might ask for power. Here's what Solomon asked for. He asked for an understanding mind to discern between good and evil. Didn't ask for money, didn't ask for power, didn't ask for fame. He wanted an understanding mind to discern between good and evil. And the Bible says that God was pleased with his request, and he granted and gave Solomon a mind to know what is right beyond any other human being that has ever lived except for Jesus. So when we're reading these proverbs, I'm going to see how close you're paying attention. What's a proverb? It's a short saying that, can you shout it out? Yes, very good. A short saying that points us in the right direction. So that when we hear these proverbs, what we're hearing is wisdom from God that is coming through Solomon to us. And the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to call the people of God to wisdom. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few different passages from this amazing book. And my prayer is that as we work through these different proverbs, that we will learn what true wisdom is and that we will desire it for our lives. This morning, we're beginning at the beginning in chapter 1. We're looking at the first 7 verses. So turn there again in your Bibles, if you would. And in these verses, we're going to learn 3 things, the answers to 3 different questions. 1, we're going to learn what is true wisdom. 2, we're going to learn about who wisdom is for. And 3, we're going to learn where wisdom begins. And what is set before us in these verses, I believe, is absolutely critical for the Christian life. And if there's any desire in our hearts at all to live a godly life for the glory of the Lord Jesus, then we need to pay attention to what these verses have to say to us. Let's first of all answer the first question, and that is what wisdom is. What Solomon shows us here is that wisdom is the proper application of truth. When people order their lives according to what God commands, they both display and benefit from that good judgment. Wisdom is the proper application of truth. With verse 1 having told us that Solomon, the king of Israel, is the one God primarily uses to give us the book of Proverbs, verse 2 tells us why he wrote them. Listen to verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. The word know here conveys something much more than just information contained in our brains. This is something more than the ability to retain facts and figures in our head. That's good. If you have the capacity, if you have the mind to retain a lot in your mind, that's a wonderful gift. But what Solomon is talking about here in terms of knowing wisdom is more than facts and figures in the brain. The sense of the word know here, to know wisdom, is a sense of closeness or connection or experience. This is an experiential knowledge. It's like if I ask you this morning, how many people know what spaghetti is? Really? No one eats spaghetti? Oh, man, it's a tough morning. Okay. If I ask you what spaghetti is, you might say, well, it's this dry piece of pasta that's in a long, stringy-like thing, right? Now, If I ask you, do you know what spaghetti is? But then I ask you another question, do you know what spaghetti tastes like? Those are two different kinds of knowledge. It's one thing to know what a spaghetti noodle is. It's another thing to know what it tastes like. And God's purpose in giving us these Proverbs through Solomon is for us to actually experience the goodness of them in our lives. Not just to know what they are in our head, but to experience the goodness of them in our lives. And this kind of experiential knowledge depends to a degree on our ability to have information in our minds and a proper sense of it. And that's why he adds the word here in verse 2, that he adds the word understanding to the word know. That goal helps us to see why Proverbs is written the way it is. Proverbs is written a little bit differently than other books in the Bible. Proverbs, these short sayings that are written to show us what is right and good or point us in the right direction, they're written in a way for us to understand them. They're not complicated. They're not hard. It's not like you when you read Proverbs, you're like, man, I wonder what Solomon is talking about. They're written in a straightforward way, and they're also written in a memorable way so that we'll have the information in our minds. But we need more than that. We actually need to experience it. We actually need to apply it. So the Lord wants us to have truth in our minds, and more than that, he wants us to have a right understanding of it. One of the traps that people can fall into these days is equating wisdom with sounding smart. I've listened to many people over the years who use fine-sounding words to say something that is completely without meaning. Have you ever listened to somebody say that? If you haven't heard somebody do that, just listen to a politician and you'll get what I'm meaning here. I like to call it word salad, where people say a lot of things and you're like, after they're done talking, you're like, what did they just say? And they like to use words, big words. They like to sound smart, but at the end of the day, people have no idea what they're saying. And I've actually experienced that a number of times in church circles, where people will get up in front of a crowd or a gathering of some kind, and they'll say all these words, and you just turn to the person next to you. Did you have any idea what they just meant? I have no idea what they just said. And that is not a good thing. What Proverbs reminds us of or makes clear to us is that bringing confusion rather than clarity is the opposite of wisdom. And God wants us to avoid that trap, which is why he's given us the Bible, which is why he's given us the book of Proverbs. He wants us to understand so that we'll be able to do what verse 3 says. Look at verse 3. It says, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. So the desire is for us to understand, this is what God wants. He wants us to understand the instructions of the Lord, and he wants us to apply that in our daily life so that we'll have wise dealing, so that we will do wise things. And he mentions that in three areas. He says, so that we'll have wise dealings in righteousness, justice, and equity. Commentator Alan Ross points out that the word righteousness here means conformity to a standard. And the word was used in the ancient world as it relates to weights and measures. See, people in the ancient world, when they used to buy and sell things, they used to weigh it to see how much they had. If you want to know how much gold you had to put a weight on the other side of a scale to see how much gold. If you want to know how much grain you put a weight on the other side of the scale, and it was all weighed out. Now, the thing is, in the ancient world, you could lie. You could use weights that didn't really weigh the right amount. And so every market or place of business, you would have a standard. There would be a standard of amount of weight which you could compare the weight that the seller or the buyer was using with a standard. I mean, I can make my bathroom scale say whatever I want. You know, I can take it and I can say, start at negative 20 pounds. And then I could stand on the scale and say, hey, I'm doing pretty good. But when I go to the doctor, there's a standard that's being compared to. And then the real deal is made known. That's what wisdom is. It deals in righteousness. It operates according to God's standards. Justice means that a standard is applied in a proper or fitting way. Wisdom means that seeking to apply God's word, we want to seek that in the way that he intends it. We want to apply God's word in the way that God intends it rather than whatever we think. That's what it means to apply the standard, the righteousness, in justice. So when we come to the Bible, we must come as listeners rather than editors. We must come asking, what did the author intend? And we need to be faithful to that. And if we're applying God's word to our life that way, then we are dealing wisely in justice. And thirdly, he says that these proverbs are given so that we will deal wisely with equity, which means that the same set of circumstances produces the same answer or the same result regardless of who the person is. The clarity of God's word remains the same whether we are applying it to our children or to a stranger. There's a temptation, isn't there, to deal with our children differently than we would deal with a stranger. But when it comes to the application of God's word, we need to apply it in the same way. We need to apply it whether a person is rich or whether a person is poor. We tend to treat people differently depending on their economic status, don't we? But the Proverbs would point us to genuine wisdom to say you got to treat people the same. We treat people, we apply God's word the same, whether it's being applied to someone who is rich, to a poor widow, whether a person is red, yellow, black, brown, or white. We apply God's standard with equity. Simply put, to know wisdom is to apply the truth of God's word in our lives and circumstances correctly, regardless of audience or consequence. Having the information of God's word in our head is important, but if that's all we have, if all we have is facts and figures about the Bible in our head, then we're no different than Satan himself. In fact, I imagine the devil has more Bible facts in his head than most of us here this morning. He has the information, but he has no interest in actually doing what it says. Wisdom is more than information. It's the proper application of truth. That brings us to the question of who is wisdom for? Now that we know what wisdom is, it's the proper application of truth, we need to ask the question, who is wisdom for? And the answer that Solomon gives here is that wisdom is for everyone. Whether you have been applying the Bible to your life for many years or you have yet to start doing so, the call to grow in doing what is right is for you. It's for me. And it's for our good. Wisdom is for everyone. Verse 4 gives us another reason why the Proverbs of Solomon have been collected in this book for God's people. Look at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. To have prudence is to have the ability or the discipline to make good decisions in your life. And the application of these proverbs is intended to give that ability to the simple. Now, when we hear the word simple, we might think that he's referring to somebody's intellectual capacity or their ability to learn. And while that might be a factor here, the word simple means something a little bit different. The simple person is someone who is easily persuaded, someone who moves easily from thinking one way to thinking another way. Franz de Liszt describes the person as those whose heart stands open to every influence. John MacArthur says they are an open door. They don't know what to keep in or out of their minds. That is the simple person that's being described here. And the wisdom of Proverbs is written for such people that they might develop the ability to think critically and to make well-thought-out decisions rather than simply accepting whatever is said to them. If something is said to them on Monday, they'll believe that. If something different is said on Tuesday, they'll believe that. God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to be driving our car of theology all over the road, one day on the right-hand side, another day on the left-hand side. He wants us to be clear-minded, to be able to think critically, and to be able to make wise choices. That's why Proverbs has been given to us. It's also given, it says, to give knowledge and discretion to the youth or to young people or to children. Most children, by their nature, by just simply the age that they're at, are impressionable. And every child needs to be taught, and the things that they are taught will impact them significantly throughout their lives. Listen, brothers and sisters, our children desperately need the wisdom of the Word of God in their lives. They need to see the goodness of the Scriptures being lived out by their parents. And I would just say this in the most loving way that I can. If you are making the Christian faith look like a nightmare in your home, you are not only a fool, but you are encouraging your children towards foolishness as well. Children need to be taught how to think and act from a Christian worldview. You know, what I have observed in our culture in Canada, and I think this is largely true in the U.S. for the last number of decades, is that the world is very interested in teaching your children what to think. But there's not very much interest in teaching your children how to think. And the wisdom that's offered to us in the Word of God is about showing us and our children how to think and act according to a Christian worldview. Wisdom that's given to us in Proverbs, who is it for? It's for the simple. If you don't know your left hand from your right hand, if you feel like you're being led this way and that way all the time, this is for you, so that you can grow in wisdom. It's for children, for people who need to learn. That's who this is for. But he goes on in verses 5 and 6, and he also says this. He says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. It's for the simple. It's for the young. It's also for the wise. If you're already wise, that is, you are applying God's truth properly to your life, you can still grow in wisdom. In fact, it seems to me one of the marks of a truly wise person is that he or she understands their continued need to grow in the application of God's word. You know, the fact is that a good deal of life is pretty straightforward. A lot of life, the answers on what to do and how to act and how to live, it's pretty straightforward from day to day. But there are also a number of circumstances that arise where the answers seem unclear. And growing in wisdom means our ability to navigate through these difficult choices in life increases, it grows. We get better at it. I particularly like the word guidance that we see here in verse 5. Alan Ross points out that the word most literally means the skill to be able to steer a ship. Now, when you're out in the open water and there's no objects around and things are pretty calm, it's pretty easy to steer a boat. But if you start to get into tighter corridors, if you start to be around rocky shores, if there's wind in the waves that are crashing in around you, your skill at driving the boat needs to be better in order to deal with those circumstances. And the fact of the matter is, no matter how skillful we may become, we can always improve, we can always get better, we can always grow in our wisdom. I'll give you an example. How many people here this morning have ever taken first aid training? Anybody ever take first aid training? That is excellent. I'm super happy for that, that there's people in the room who have been trained in first aid. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. Who would you rather have help you in an emergency? Somebody like me who took, I think the last time I took first aid was over 16 years ago. Or somebody who keeps their certification up every year. Who would you rather have work on you in an emergency? I'm guessing, I'll just give you my answer. I want the person whose certification is up to date, right? Did you know that doctors and nurses and EMTs, do you know that they go and they take first aid certification on a regular basis? The doctor doesn't go, I'm a doctor, I don't need to do that. No, they want to go, and they want to learn, and they want to keep it up to date. The same thing is true with the wisdom of God's word. We can always be growing. We can always be learning. If you've never learned, you've never learned to apply the Bible to your life, you can start that today, and it will be good for you. And it would be good for those around you. If you're reading God's word every day, this is what you should, one of the applications of today's sermon is this. If you're reading God's word every day and you're praying for the Holy Spirit to direct your words and your thoughts and your feelings and your actions according to what the Lord says, it'll be good for you to do that tomorrow. If there's one thing that you could do to dramatically increase your capacity for wisdom in your life, it would simply be this. Read God's word every day and ask God to shape you into the man or woman that he desires you to be through his word. That would be an amazing thing for you to do every day. You could start that today. Wisdom, that is the ability to apply truth to our lives, is good for everyone. At the end of the day, there are really only two kinds of people in the world, those who are growing in wisdom and those who are growing in foolishness. If you are living like a fool today, there's good news for you in this passage, and the good news for you is that you can make another choice. You can start pursuing wisdom today. You might ask, where do I start with that? Like, I've never given two hoots and a holler about God or about the Bible. Where do I start? That's the question that verse number 7 answers for us. And the answer is this: wisdom begins with knowing the Lord. When you are disconnected from God, everything you are striving for and doing is bringing you to eternal ruin. And is therefore foolishness. The only way to change that is to turn to God. Wisdom begins with knowing the Lord. One of the ways we could think of the word of the book of Proverbs as a whole is by thinking of it as a comparison. In fact, the Hebrew word that we translate as proverb means to make a comparison between two or more things. So as you're reading these proverbs, these short sayings that point us in the right direction, you'll often find it's a comparison between two things. And one of the things that is often compared is the fool and the wise person. Wisdom and foolishness are compared all through the book of Proverbs, and we see that comparison here in verse 7. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word translated knowledge here is a little bit different than the word that's translated know in verse 2. The word that's translated knowledge here in verse 7 has the sense of understanding or wisdom or perception, discernment, or skill. It's the capacity to rightly assess something. The absolute beginning point for that, we're told here, is the fear of the Lord. I think it's rather interesting that it's the fear of the Lord that's mentioned, rather than the awareness of the Lord, rather than belief in the Lord. No, it's said, what's said here is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Why fear? Because fear means that a person has made some very important connections in their mind between who we are as fallen human beings and who God is as the infinite and eternal creator and sustainer of all things. Remember in the garden, when Adam disobeyed God, and then God made his presence known in the garden. You remember what Adam did? What did Adam do? Somebody shout it out. What did he do? He hid. And why did he tell God, when God asked him about it, why did he tell God that he hid? Because he was afraid. He had a sense of the holiness of God, and he had a sense of his sin, and it caused him to be afraid. Time and again in the Bible, God causes his glory to appear to men and women. And do you know what the number one response is when God causes his glory to be made visibly known to someone? Do you know what the response is? It's fear. Just read about that in Isaiah 6. Isaiah, he's a prophet. And he sees God and he's terrified. That's not just in the Old Testament either, brothers and sisters. You see that in the New Testament. You remember in Revelation when John sees the glory of Jesus, he falls on his face and he's terrified. It's fear. There's a sense. The reaction of fear means that there's a connection in the mind of a sense of the holiness and the greatness of God and our own sinful, unworthy condition. Fear is the beginning of knowledge. This is more, though, than just a trembling kind of fear. It certainly is that. But there's more here to this fear than just a trembling kind of fear. As Alan Ross puts it, he says, it's also a reverential submission to the Lord's will. The fear of God is understanding that God gets to decide how we live. And it's a desire to willfully come under his authority. Now, without that, without the fear of the Lord, we can't know anything worth knowing. I know full well many unbelievers would object to that statement. They would point to science, they would point to reason, they would point to logic, and they would say that there are many people who know many things without the fear of the Lord whatsoever. How can you say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? I'd be the first to agree that there are many highly intelligent unbelievers who have many facts stored away in their brains. But we must ask some important questions. You know, when the skeptic comes to you and acts like they've scored an intellectual touchdown against you by saying, we have science and we have reason and we have logic, I just encourage you to ask some good questions back to said person. Here's a good question to ask them. Why are there laws in the universe that science can explain? Why is that? Why are there laws in the universe? Here's a really good question. Why, this might This might cause you to do some mental gymnastics, but it's a really good question. Why is reason reasonable? You ever ask the person who's all about science and all about reason, why should we trust what you say? Why is your reason reasonable? Why does logic make any sense at all? The only reason any of that works is because the God of the Bible brought the universe into existence. That's why everything in the universe works, is because the Bible is true. Now, you don't have to believe the Bible in order to experience the fact that the universe works, but the only reason the universe works is because the Bible is true. And when you reject the Lord, you reject the very reason why anything works. And so you can say you don't know anything. You may know lots of stuff, but you don't truly know a thing. Which is why the second half of verse 7 says this: fools despise wisdom, that is the proper application of truth. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If wisdom is applying what is true to your life and you reject the very source of truth, the only thing left for you is foolishness. You may be a very intelligent fool. There's lots of those people in the world. But you cannot be an intelligent, wise person apart from God. When I was a kid, I had a number of jobs helping out around the house. How many kids have to do chores around the house? And one of the jobs I had to do was mixing mortar for my dad. And mortar is the stuff that goes in between bricks and stones that holds them together. And mortar is made up roughly of three things. It's made up of sand, some masonry powder, and water in the proper proportion. Now, what if you were to just mix sand and water together? Maybe you've done this at the beach before when you made a sandcastle. You just mix some sand and water together and then slap it on the bricks or slap it on the stones and make a wall out of it. Does anybody know what will happen? Your wall will fall down because you don't really have mortar. You just have wet sand. Now, that's a good illustration for what it's like to live your life without acknowledging God. You can think you're smart. Lots of people do. In fact, I've seen more than one survey, and the question is, are you above average intelligence? And it always comes back like 75% of people think they're above average. Now think that through. Anyway, lots of people think that they're smart. You can know lots of things. But apart from God, you're setting yourself up for disaster. On the other hand, when you start to truly understand who God is and who we are as sinful beings, and you begin to see that we have a major problem there, you can see the greatness of God, and you can see the goodness of His laws, and you can realize the seriousness of what it means to having broken those laws, and you tremble at the thought, that's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of true understanding. And when that happens, you will see your need of a Savior and be most happy to discover that the Lord has provided a Savior for us, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, so that He could offer Himself, so that He could die in our place, so that we could be forgiven. And He conquered the grave so that we could be made alive with Him forever. If you can start with the fear of the Lord, it won't be long before you end up at the foot of the cross. And brothers and sisters, that is the beginning of wisdom. So why live? Why live a foolish life that ends in despair and destruction? Why not instead acknowledge who God is? Look to the cross and the empty tomb of his Son. Be forgiven and be transformed by his grace. Listen, the way of wisdom is open to you. This is so amazing what the grace of God does. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there would be no point in pursuing wisdom because we'd all be lost. We might as well just give up and accept eternity in hell today. But because of the grace of God, learning God's word and applying it to your life means that even though you're a sinner who's fallen countless times like me, you can benefit and you can grow from the goodness of God's word being applied to your life, both for your good and for the glory of Christ. Now, maybe you've been growing in wisdom for years, and I would just say to you, wonderful. Proverbs, God's word is for you. Keep growing. And maybe you've never considered God in your thinking at all. Maybe you're doing a horrible job of applying God's word to your life. Proverbs is for you. You can grow in wisdom. So my exhortation would be this: let us all choose to chase after wisdom according to God's grace in Christ for the glory of his name and for our highest good. Let's pray. Lord, it's very easy to deceive ourselves into thinking we are wise when we are fools. And Lord, beyond fearing you, perhaps the greatest element to growing in wisdom is humility. To make little of ourselves and to make much of you in our lives. God, I pray you'd help us to grow in these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.